welcome to our second broadcast in the subject of fighting discouragement. I think you'll enjoy the program today. Stay tuned. We'll try to make it plain and simple. Get some more thoughts together on how to fight discouragement. We said in our last broadcast that if you get discouraged, you're in good company. There's some people in the Bible who got discouraged. Rachel was crying, "Give me children or I die." The Israelites, they were crying because there was giants in the land. And the Bible says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way David and his men came back from fighting a battle. And they remember they wept until they had no more power to weep. Elijah went and sat under a juniper tree and prayed he would die. Moses cried unto the Lord and said, "What'll I do with all these people?" In fact, he said, "If I found favor in your sight, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. I just don't want to be here anymore." Jonah did the same thing. He said, "I beseech thee, take my life from me." People get discouraged, and there's no excuse for it. That's not saying that, okay, because these people did it, that I can do it too. No, the Bible says these things are written for our admonition. These things happen and are written for our admonition, that we would be admonished so that we don't make the same mistakes that they do. If I get discouraged, nobody can make me discouraged but me. I have to decide that I'm going to go down in the dumps and I'm going to get discouraged. I have to do that, or I can say, wait a minute now, I am going to, by the power of God, fight this discouragement and get on the other side. The greatest tool that Satan has to get us to get out of the ministry or to just start going through the motions in the ministry is discouragement. Well, there's a lot of reasons to get discouraged, especially if you're in a small church, but 99% of the people who will be in church next Sunday will be in a small church. It's just that there's very few large churches, and some have gotten there because they've compromised, and some have there because the Lord gave the increase. And if it's that way, that's great. But generally speaking, the Lord has little churches all over the place, just teaching them, preaching the truth from the Word of God. And we need to understand that big is not necessarily success. What we need to do is just take what we have and be excited about what we have. The Bible says, be content with such things as you have. If we're not content with the churches that we have, then why should God give us more to be discontented with? Some years ago, my phone rang and I talked to a pastor at a small church, and we talked for probably 40 minutes, and I spent most of the time trying to convince him that he should not quit his church. He was so discouraged he wanted to quit. Well, finally we hung up, and immediately the phone rang again. It was a pastor in a church in the States, and he had a large church. We talked for a while, and I said, "You seem to be discouraged." And he said, "I am very discouraged, and I'm thinking of quitting this church." And so I talked to him for about 40 minutes, trying to convince him that he should not quit his church. It doesn't matter whether you got a small church or whether you got a large church. Discouragement is one of the greatest tools that Satan has, and he'll use it wherever we are, and no matter what the size of our church is, he will use the thing of discouragement to discourage us, but then we have to let him do it. Now, Satan always uses people, and he will use people to discourage us, but if we let those people discourage us, then they're in charge. And you don't want them in charge of your life. You want the Holy Spirit in charge. So let's just determine that we're going to fight discouragement. Now, today we want to look at some other areas of discouragement. And one of those areas for sure is what we call unsuccessful soul winning. That can bring discouragement, soul winning. That's an interesting word. First of all, what we need to do is to realize that the Holy Spirit is the one who is in charge of winning anybody to the Lord. All we need to do is go out there and be a witness. We are to be witnesses for Him. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Jesus said, do that until the end of the world, and the world hasn't ended yet, so we need to just keep on going. Now, it can get very discouraging because this age in which we are living in, people are not interested. There's just such a little interest in the things of the Lord out there. However, the Bible has prophesied in the last days it's going to be that way. And so let us not be discouraged. Let us just keep on going. Let us just keep going like he said to do. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. We go out every Saturday morning. We try to talk to people about the Lord. We give them some invitations to church. Nobody comes, not much, not really. The thing, though, that I have found is you reap what you sow. If you sow visitation, you reap visitors. And most of the time, the people we talk to don't come. But when you sow visitation, you reap visitors. People come who we didn't talk to, and they start coming in because the Bible says, and it's a principle, and God keeps his word, whatsoever you sow, that shall ye also reap. Now, we get out there and we try to win people to the Lord. One of the things I think that is the problem here is, you can find it in the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to be doing a series on Nehemiah in our morning services coming up in the next few weeks. You might want to tune in those broadcasts. They're available here on our internet. But we're going to be doing a series in the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, he had a responsibility to build 10 gates. And those gates are very interesting gates. We're going to look at those. And if we build those 10 gates, we can have the same revival that they had, a great revival by the time you get to Nehemiah chapter 8. Well, the first gate that he was supposed to build was the sheep gate. And the sheep gate represents our relationship with Jesus Christ. The second gate that he is going to build is the fish gate. And Jesus said this, I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, here is an important fact. If we do not build the sheep gate first, then the fish gate has nothing to lean against. And if we build that fish gate by itself, it's going to fall over. And that, I think, is what is happening in this age in which we're living in. We have so many self-made fishermen, and we've built our own gates. No, what we need to do, Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. We have neglected that first gate. We have not built our relationship with the Lord as we should, and so we go out there in the power of the flesh and try to fish. Now, we need to get things in their proper order if we are going to determine not to get discouraged as we go out there and try to win people to the Lord. I know some years ago, I went out fishing with a friend, and we fished all day. We got burnt to death by the sun, but we did not catch any fish. That was very, very discouraging. Another time I was preaching in a Bible camp, and some of the men there were going fishing. They invited me to go along with them. And we went, there was two boats, and we went to a spot where they said there was lots of fish. Well, there was lots of fish there. Both, all the other men that went were bringing fish, and I was using the same bait, everything exactly the same. They were getting fish, I was getting nothing. Well, I got discouraged with that too. I just went home, sold my fishing equipment. I said, I don't need to go looking for discouragement. Well, we can't do that in the work of the Lord. We are commanded to go, and we are commanded to fish, but we are commanded not to get discouraged. And we need to make sure that we do not focus on what we think isn't happening when we go out there and we witness for the Lord, and there are not too many people that are interested. That can be very, very discouraging. Well, another area of discouragement is neglected responsibilities will bring discouragement. Now, one of the things we need to do is get Dad back in the picture. It says in Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Then again in Luke 1:17, it says this, that they are to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. This is a most important thing. And then concerning the situation regarding responsibilities, two areas here. Number one, we should take our responsibilities. Find out what our responsibilities are and take them. What are my responsibilities as a father? What are my responsibilities as a pastor, as a husband? What are my responsibilities? Write them down, figure out what they are, and take your responsibilities. But another area we need to learn is to leave responsibilities alone that do not belong to us. Leave those alone. Some years ago, I was teaching some sessions at a Bible college in the United States, and we were talking with some other pastors there, and this one pastor said, I've got 12 of my kids here at this college. I said, you and your wife have 12 children? No, 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 he said, my church kids. I said, whoa, wait, hang on here just a minute. those are not your kids. Those kids have parents, and they are their children. Now, what we need to do is to realize not to take responsibilities that do not belong to us. If a pastor is going to take the responsibility of determining where the children who belong to somebody else are going to go to college, he's making a mistake. Now, what he needs to do is to help the father to make that decision, so the father can make a decision as to which college they go to, if they go to one or not. That is a parent decision. Now, on the other side of that coin, what has happened here is a lot of times as pastors, we've said, well, I'll take dad's responsibility here. And so dad says, that's fine. You want to take my responsibility? I'll take yours. And he's in there trying to tell you how to run the church. And the devil's back there laughing, and everybody's getting discouraged because people haven't learned to take the responsibilities that are theirs and leave the others alone. One day some years ago, I was sitting in my study just before the service, and this teenage girl walked by, and she was crying, and I went out and got her and brought her in. I said, what's the problem? And she said, well, so-and-so just told me I look like a harlot because I got too much makeup on. And she was weeping, and I didn't think she had too much makeup on, but I went and got the man that had said that to her, and I brought him in. I said, did you tell her that she had too much makeup on? He said, yeah, she does. I said, do you think that is your responsibility? Oh, I don't know. I said, whose responsibility would that be? He said, I guess maybe it's yours. I said, no, she's not my daughter. She's got a father, and she's got a mother, and they're both Christians, and it is their responsibility, not yours, not mine, theirs. Do not take responsibilities that do not belong to you. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. And a week or two later, he's doing the same thing. Some people just won't learn. But when you take responsibilities that do not belong to you, people get hurt and people get discouraged. Another lady in that church, again, this was years ago, and she would phone me sometimes twice a week. And it would always start out, oh, Pastor Kirkland. And as soon as I heard that, I knew exactly who it was. And I said, well, come on over. And she would come over to the church, and I would try to help her through her situations. And this went on for 3 years. The phone would ring sometimes in the evening at 6, 7, 8 o'clock. Oh, Pastor Kirkland, I'll come on over to the church. We'll talk some more. Finally, I figured it out. She's not my responsibility. She has a husband. It is his responsibility to take care of her. So I called him. I said, I need you to come right now. I need to talk to you. It's very serious. And he came over to the church, and I put this bunch of her problems in an envelope. I wrote them out while he was on his way over, and then I put his name on the envelope, and I went out to the van when he got there, and I said, sir, your wife is going to end up in a mental institution if she doesn't get help. He said, yeah, I know it. I said, well, scripturally, it's your responsibility to help her. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do here. I will be glad to meet with you once or twice a week and give you some information on how to help her, but this is your responsibility. And he said, well, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, she's going to end up in a mental institution if you don't. He said, no, you do it. I said, I'm going to end up in a mental institution if I do. This is getting ridiculous. I said, now you either take your responsibility or you don't. And he didn't, and she didn't come crying anymore. I mean, after 3 years, after a while, you just get to the point where you got to smarten up and to realize that, what is the sense of wasting all that time counseling somebody when it's not your responsibility to do it anyway? It would be my responsibility to help the husband do it, but if he's not going to take his responsibility, then what I need to do is learn to say, well, I'm not taking it either. Because when you take responsibilities that do not belong to us, the thing is that we will get discouraged. And so we can get discouraged by getting down in the dumps because a whole lot of people aren't getting saved or even coming out if you invite them to church. No, it's the end of the age. Don't get discouraged. Just keep on doing what God said to do. And another good idea to avoid the problems and the discouragement that comes with those problems is do not take responsibilities that are not yours, but take the ones that are. Well, we're out of time again. Tune in again tomorrow, and we'll try to figure out some more ideas on how to fight discouragement, and we'll try to make it plain and simple.